It's March 17th, and it's a Tuesday, and Kristen's not here because she's glamping, but we're doing government and robot news.
I don't know if we could call this one a glamp. This is a backpack. Supposedly, she's trying to become more hardcore, and she thinks she's going to do a three-week backpack during the summer. Now, I did ferret out that there are, staying at people's houses and restocking and going to stores, and it's not actually 3 weeks in the woods.
Well, that might be the one way to survive the thing that we cannot name because the thing is real.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Like, is she in the best possible situation right now?
Or the worst possible situation?
In the woods. What if she came back and everybody was dead?
What if she gets to the first restock place and everything's just gone? Because it's all been hoarded.
That'd be funny. And then she really does have to try to survive. It'd be a great book.
She's eating like squirrel fritters and squirrel barbecue.
I don't think she could catch a squirrel. Well, today we're talking about government and robot. And the world is shutting down. But one thing that is not shutting down is the Trump administration's enmity toward Chinese companies.
Trump has signed a law banning the use of federal funds to purchase Huawei equipment. This is another follow-up. There's not really a lot of new information here in this story.
Well, just that it's now
that it's official. Now a law. Yeah, it's now official.
We covered it when it went through the House and when it went through the Senate, and now
it's legit.
It's going to happen.
Surprising no one.
At a time when the global economy is on a bit of a stretch of bad luck, let's go ahead and poke it with a stick. And that's not the only company, or the only Chinese company, that the government is not a big fan of. And the other one is perhaps more of a threat because a lot more people use it that are in the government, and they don't like that.
Senate bill seeks to ban Chinese app TikTok from government work phones. Now, I thought we had a story like 6 or 7 episodes ago where it's like TikTok is not from a Chinese company. There's a Chinese interest that owns the parent company that has TikTok. But yeah, the Senate is saying this is insanely dangerous. You know what's not on the ban though? That Communist Party devotional app that we covered a while back, which apparently has some incredible ability to install malware.
You think a lot of people in the Senate are using that?
Yeah. Also, the app that Jeff Bezos claimed got him hacked, Snapchat, also not on the list.
I thought that was WhatsApp.
Or WhatsApp. Yeah, you're right. It was WhatsApp.
Well, that's Facebook, right? So, yeah. That's ours. China should ban that from us using it. That's how that works.
There are some really good lessons about like how sometimes, you know, we talk about like as if there's this great top-down machine putting back doors and things, but there are a couple cases where like some intelligence firm just found some employee and was like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to give you money and we're going to set you up in a nice house, but you don't actually have a choice. Don't think that you have a choice because your choice is to take the money and be happy and forget about it and also work this very cleverly disguised backdoor into the code that is damn near impossible to notice and no one will be able to trace it back to you and we're going to give you all this stuff. But if you don't do it, we're going to murder your family.
Was that there's some, was it Game of Thrones where it's like you either take the gold or the steel?
Yeah. It is like that in real life. And it's like, it's not like one government entity approached the company and was like, we're going to do this with your products. No, that will directly attack the programmers. Just the linemen.
The family. Yeah. Family. Well, after the family. That's the most effective strategy. And one they're supposedly not averse to over there in the China. Well, the Huawei is maybe the latest threat that the government loves to go after. But 3 years ago, they went after a little company called ZTE. And interestingly, one thing to keep in mind as you read this headline is we know it was 3 years ago because that sanction just expired. So is this just auspicious timing or maybe is there this like, oh, it's time to do that again?
The U.S. is now investigating Chinese telecom giant ZTE for alleged bribery. ZTE pled guilty 3 years ago to violating U.S. sanctions against Iran and North Korea and just ended its probation period. There's a lot more to the story, actually. They were caught before their probation period ended doing some sort of bad things, and they said, oh, we've disciplined those employees, when in fact they gave them bonuses. But as part of the whole, like, Trump-China trade deal negotiation, he lifted the sanctions early. But the sanctions would have expired anyway recently. Well, new investigation.
They claim they have some pretty good evidence. And I believe it is, I don't know if you want to use the phrase well-known, it is heavily rumored, let's say, to be impartial, that bribery is just kind of a way of doing business in China.
Yeah.
So to them, it's kind of like my cats when I punish them. They're like, I don't know what this is about. I'll stop for now, but I really don't see what the big deal is here.
It's like a politician in America. It's like the politicians can't take money directly. But what they can do is say a company, you know, buys an acre or two of Central Park in New York and erects a solid gold statue to, you know, whatever Congress critter they're buying. And there's a little clause in there that's like, when you get out of office, we're going to, you know, hire you to do this thing. You're going to be a consultant for us. You're going to make a lot of money. And that's not technically bribery. It's bribery with more steps.
I feel like if it was properly investigated, it would be found to be bribery. But yeah, I'm not saying that we're above them in any way. We just have more steps. Bribery with more steps.
I think, but it's the cultural thing, though. It's like the Chinese spirit of entrepreneurialism is like, no, let's find the most efficient way to do this. Right, and it's like, no, we can't be too efficient. Can't be too obvious what's going on here.
We probably would save a lot of tax dollars with direct bribes.
Yeah, I mean, think about like the Ajit Pai situation. It's like, that's not technically. But if he were more in the open about it, I think that might actually be, you know, a little more honest.
Well, Axios, I appreciate Axios in the sense that they keep their reporting very minimal. They don't even write an article. It's sometimes just bullet points. But they also, you know, and that's great when you're reading 50 news articles or 100 news articles, because sometimes we hit into the hundreds in a two-hour period. But at the same time, sometimes you really lack details. And this one really lacks details, but I think it might be because this guy just didn't give any details. Just made a claim.
DHS official claims 2020 will be the most secure election in U.S. history.
And then we'll just take a look at it. Yeah, that's
it.
Three bullet points. It doesn't really say anything other than, yeah, we've got this.
I think that he probably shouldn't be doing this because I feel like it would bait Putin and other nefarious interests to be like, all right, well, you know, tell us how it's secure and we'll make a mockery of it.
Now, they did point out that because of, you know, the thing that cannot be spoken, mail-in voting might be an option for everybody. And he said that leaking envelopes doesn't spread it. I don't know if I'd believe that.
That seems unlikely.
How about we just do the sticky with the peel-off envelopes?
I think that would be worse than, you know, money. And a lot of money has been incinerated because it's testing positive.
I would say, like, just bake the envelopes in infrared or something, but then, you know, they would lose them and burn them or whatever.
Yeah.
There's going to be election corruption no matter how you slice it.
That's a new $1 million product idea. It's a currency sanitizer. You just, like, you get your envelope full of cash from your local mafia boss, just pop it in your sanitizer 3 minutes on high, ding, and then there you go. It's sanitized.
But I will say I like my chances with all of that a lot better than I like a touch screen that everybody in the county is going to touch. Not really. It was about 13% turnout. Still. And facial recognition is still a hot topic. Of course, all topics are secondary to that one we're not allowed to talk about. But almost kind of like the Huawei thing, the government is taking this time, it seems, to just stuff all the things they know we don't like under the radar because we're worried about that other thing. Facial recognition is no exception.
The ACLU has sued Homeland Security over airport face recognition program secrecy. So, yeah, this is the kiosk, like the readmittance to the U.S. kiosk. I've used the one, actually. It is slightly creepy because if there's more than one person in your photo, it's like, there's more than one face here. Are you a group? And it's like, no, that's just some dude that just does not understand personal space that's standing behind me.
Yeah, but now Palantir has your face.
I'm pretty sure it had it already because what was the reference? That didn't scan me when I was leaving that I know of.
Oh, it's your passport photo. They admitted that. Yeah, even though that's not supposed to be allowed.
It's like postage stamp sized. How did they do that?
They're good at it. And speaking of Palantir and the newest entry into that world, Clearview, they're still catching backlash. Now, what was it, about 4 weeks ago? It was in 2020 when the world discovered Clearview. And they were like, what? What is this? This sounds terrifying. And Vermont, we got to give it up to Vermont. They're one of the first states that always attacks back about, like, you know, online privacy and stuff like that.
They have a clue.
They're the first to take action.
Vermont Attorney General is suing Clearview AI over its controversial face recognition app. This practice is unscrupulous, unethical, and contrary to public policy. Yes, all of those things are factual.
But not illegal. So, I don't know. I don't know what kind of odds they got here with this suit. I'm still interested. Have you seen anything about... I know that all the big companies said, stop using our services to scrape. But I don't think they can stop them. I haven't seen any of that play out.
No, sometimes in the terms of service for a website, you can say, hey, you're not allowed to scrape this. But there are a couple cases where scraping was done for preservational purposes. And the courts upheld that scraping for preservational purposes was okay in some scenarios.
Well, I don't know if they always have to have accounts, do they?
Not necessarily.
So they can scrape without agreeing to terms.
Well, you might still get the term pop up or the cookie pop up or whatever.
Well, I didn't click on it. Yeah. I just ignored it. I'm a robot. And the Vault 7, God, how long ago was Vault 7?
It was kind of a while ago. We reported on this last week, but they had not finalized the verdict.
Oh, I was here last week. That's fine. And I didn't read the stories. So, yeah.
There's more information in this.
The wheels of justice turned very slowly. This guy just got finished with his trial. Real bad news for him.
Hung jury in the CIA, in the case of the CIA coder accused of the cyber leak weapon. Now, last week we talked about how the jury was really hung up on the details. Apparently, the defense did a good job. They did find him guilty of two things. One, lying to the feds, and two, he's in contempt of court. But those were the least serious charges that he was charged with, eight other charges. However, because the U.S. justice system is weird, that doesn't count as an acquittal. A hung jury is not the same as finding someone not guilty. So he could be tried again with another set of jurors. And keep in mind, this is the same jury that was dismissed because one of the jurors just straight up says, like, no, I'm not going to find him guilty for this. Even if he did it, I'm not going to find him guilty. And they were like, well, guess what? You're out. So,
which is a great strategy to avoid jury duty.
Yeah, yeah. The
well, you might get contempt if you're too, you know, on the nose about it.
The other thing, though, that was interesting with this is all those child porn charges disappeared. Like, they didn't even bring it up at trial. That was what he's originally arrested for.
And he's still in jail, right? There was no bail on that.
No. March 26th is when they're going to decide that he gets a retrial. But I can just, spoiler alert, they're going to want a retrial.
But the courts are shutting down. He might wait even longer.
Yeah, he might just be trapped for 6 months.
In jail. In limbo. Just bursting at the seams with virus. Great. Maybe they'll take care of him for him. They don't have to worry about it. Well, one of the big surprises in the business world was the Jedi contract going to Microsoft. Everybody, including Amazon, thought that Amazon had it in the bag. Because their service is, I think, a lot better. Some people have argued that for government purposes, you got the Office suite.
Yeah.
And you want to integrate that. I guess there's some argument there. I'm sure Amazon would accommodate that. And a lot of people, including Jeff Bezos, said, Trump hates me, and that's why this happened. So he sued. And another surprising headline about that lawsuit.
Pentagon is going to reconsider parts of the controversial $10 billion Jedi contract. Amazon says it lost the deal because Trump hates Bezos. The Department of Defense will now review.
And they point out that there's only one section that they didn't properly evaluate. But then this judge also said, I don't know, I think they've got a good shot. So...
yeah. Well, the judge said that they've got a good shot at proving that the request for bids was defective in some way because of a very, very technical thing. So it's a very extremely narrow scope. But the headline that the judge went with, or the headline that everybody's going with, is the judge said that Amazon is likely to prevail. And it's like, the judge has said that Amazon is likely to prevail on one super narrow and very technical argument that the evaluation criteria proposal thing was not structured correctly for this one super narrow thing. But the overall thing, he didn't say anything about.
So I think what's going to happen is the Pentagon is going to go back, do it correctly, go through all the motions, and make the same exact decision.
Probably.
And just be more annoyed with Amazon.
Probably.
But who knows? We'll see. If you're spending a lot more time on the internet lately, and perhaps not getting paid as frequently as you used to, don't worry, because the big internet firms have your back. Can you believe that I just said that?
Major U.S. internet firms agree not to cancel service over the next 60 days. U.S. telecom regulators said Friday that major internet providers, including Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon, will not terminate service for subscribers for the next 60 days if they are unable to pay their bills due to disruptions caused by the corona.
I think you already went too far.
No! No! The sun's corrupt. No.
So here's a question. How far above the previous record do you think there will be for cancellations on that 61st day?
It's going to be incredible.
That's going to be an amazing day of a great internet shutoff.
I think that we're also about to, at least the U.S. economy is about to find out exactly how many people live paycheck to paycheck, which is going to be a scary large number.
That number is really, really large. And a lot of those people are going to start robbing the rest of us.
Seems likely.
Not great. Well, the Department of Homeland Security had a worker, and he had a really great idea. He said to himself, they've got this software. They pay a lot of money for this. I bet I could just copy it and sell it to them because I'm smart. Well, he wasn't so smart.
Former DHS official charged with theft of confidential government software and databases. Former DHS acting inspector general accused of stealing DHS software in an attempt to make a profit by reselling it back to the U.S. government. The weird thing is, when he was working for DHS, they helped him set up a copy of it at his house that he could experiment with.
Well, I think that was the... They were a co-defendant because she wasn't supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
She was like a former aide or something like that. And he hired an Indian to rewrite the code. He wasn't even good enough to do it himself. He had to hire that out. So
it's a mess. This is the same guy that I think I read another version of this article that said that he'd been reprimanded before because when he was working on his PhD or his master's degree or something, he'd used department resources to try to help him with his PhD research.
That's the kind of person you want in power.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we are canceling everything as, of course, last week. We started talking about the cancellations the week before last week, and they have not stopped. They just keep coming.
They might be ramping up, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't blame the cancellation on that thing. Sometimes it's just legitimately a failure. And to these guys' credit, when this was brought up by the reporter, they were like, nah, this was pretty much, we just dropped the ball on this. Can't really blame it on the virus.
Europe and Russia's robotic mission to Mars is delayed until 2022. The main reason? The parachutes. They were testing the parachutes for the rover to land, and that did not go well. So they need to do additional parachute testing, but there's also some other testing that they wanted to do anyway. So the next Mars launch window is going to be 2022. This has already been delayed once from 2018.
You think they watched the video of that flat earth guy? And they're like, oh, we should test the parachutes.
Yeah.
Write that down. Parachute testing.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently one of the tests just shredded the parachute on entry, and it was like, oh, that's not good.
That's an expensive mistake. Over in Europe, we have a right to repair sort of spearhead campaign going on here, and it's mostly focused on consumer electronics. Not necessarily your computer or your phone. Of course, you can already fix your computer, but your phone, everything's baked into that little device. It's very tough to take apart. And as we've seen from places like iFixit, Apple is actively working to make it harder and harder. And the EU says that's not acceptable. I don't know what they plan to do about it.
European lawmakers propose a right to repair for mobiles and laptops. So really, this is a super long article to say that the European Union is going to say that you're going to have to design the devices at least with replaceable batteries, if not with replaceable interchangeable parts.
But they also say upgradability and no planned obsolescence. And that seems like the antithesis of the modern mobile market.
Yeah, it really is.
It would be an incredible change for them to do this.
I think that... you know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. There was kind of a version of this with Detroit, the automotive industry. And, you know, in the early automotive industries, all the automobiles were just bespoke creations. There wasn't really standardized parts. And then when there was legislation, it was like, no, you have the right to fix your car. Detroit can't hold you hostage. Then standardization of parts happened. And you got crazy stuff in the 70s, like kit cars, where you would get a catalog and it was like, order these parts. And it was from, you know, just you would build Franken car because it was like these headlights and this taillight and this rear assembly and this engine and this other thing. And then you could actually end up with a pretty neat, interesting car.
I can't imagine, though, like, how difficult would it be to try to pull apart and reassemble one of those bendy phones?
It would be impossible unless you have a local Lewis Rossman.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you just can't have stuff like that and have your average person servicing it. You could put a battery in there they could replace.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
I would accept that as a small victory. It's like you can replace your battery in a phone and there's maybe a micro SD card slot. That would be a huge win for consumers.
Well, this is a facial recognition story, and you might be thinking, well, why wasn't this with the other facial recognition thing with Clearview? Well, we've moved on to the robot section, that's why. This is facial recognition and artificial intelligence. And we have already talked about, of course, you know, China seems to be rebounding from this whole thing, if you can believe their numbers. Who knows? But it seems like everything's going better there. However, I think, you know, what's the phrase? An abundance of caution. Everybody says abundance of caution. Out of an abundance of caution, the people there are still wearing masks. And that's a problem if you're the Chinese Communist Party, because you got all these amazing cameras that now can't read faces. But wait.
Masks won't protect you from facial recognition. A Chinese facial recognition firm says it can now identify people wearing masks. The accuracy, 95%. It's down a bit from their usual 99.1%. But hey, what are you going to do?
That's still pretty amazing. Because remember just last year we talked about, I think it was last year, that whole time compression thing. Interesting thing about time compression is because you don't have any milestones in your life. Now I got a big one. So for the next year, time's not going to seem like it moves as quickly in hindsight. But we talked about, remember the ICP makeup?
Oh, yeah.
Because it removed the jawline and like the lips and stuff. So these guys have gotten around that.
Yeah.
Which is impressive. Bad news for the Juggalos.
It really is. I mean.
And India has that, what's the name of their big database? I can't remember. They've got the big biometric slash face slash fingerprint database. And that happened a couple years ago. And everybody was like, my God, this is going to be a nightmare.
And it was.
You're going to use this for terrible purposes. And they're like, you're crazy. This is just for taxes and Social Security. It's fine. We're not going
to. Finding lost children.
Always think of the children. We would never do anything like repurpose it to track you with face recognition.
India used facial recognition tech to identify 1,100 individuals at a recent riot. Yes. The article goes on to describe how this database created for finding lost children was used to identify the rioters.
The AI used against the database has also been shown to be very inaccurate. Way lower than the mask database. But they're using it anyway on people who are just in a mob.
I love the quote, this is software. It does not see face. It does not see clothes. It only sees face, and through the face of the person is caught. And it's like, I've got some bad news for you about the racial profiling component of this software, because it's trained on very racially biased data. So I want to choose your words a little more carefully.
But it is only looking at Indians, I presume. So maybe it's applying that bias, you know, equally?
No. I'm sure that the database they trained on is like, this is the lowest caste. We must exterminate them. And it's like, whoa.
Do they have distinct features? I don't know how that works.
I'm sure that somebody in the comments will tell us.
I guess if there's not a lot of interbreeding, then maybe there's some of that going on. It's probably one of those things you're not supposed to talk about.
Probably not.
Well, we've talked about all of the European countries, and of course, the U.S. is in the mix now, too, just stinging Facebook with little fines. Just going, it's like anytime you need to cash a check, you just go to the bank of Facebook. And it's like, you're violating privacy. And what can they say? Like, yeah, we kind of are. But Australia is taking a different tactic. You see, they don't want to make a lot of trips to the well. They just want to make one really big trip. And it's a bold move.
Australia sues Facebook over Cambridge Analytica, and the fine could scale to $529 billion. Of course, what someone did was look at Australian law and look at the number of counts that, you know, Australia is suing for, and then say, well, the maximum penalty under the law, that would be $529 billion. That's enough to bankrupt Facebook.
What's their market cap?
It's like $300 billion.
Less after the past 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they could pay it. But they probably won't go for that amount. They will probably try to find a fraction of that that they think Facebook will actually pay. You got to find that number where it's like, here's the number where Facebook just won't turn off Australia. Because they did turn off Pakistan. Facial recognition in the U.S. is kind of synonymous with Palantir. They've got that crazy software that they share with police. And of course, now we have Clearview, who's entered the mix. But both of those act after the fact. It's kind of, and now China has the live system, which is way more impressive. You know?
45-year-old in white slacks walking across the road.
Yeah, and jaywalking. So by the time you get home, you've got the fine and your social score has been lowered. Very impressive. One company looked at that and said, oh, yes, that's what we need here.
This small company is turning Utah into a surveillance panopticon. This is from Motherboard. And we've got several stories about this company, I think. And they may have all been consolidated. I'm not sure. This is a story about a company called Banjo.
Yeah, we'll probably just delete the other one. I think it's almost the same story and another thing.
It turns out Banjo actually operates a whole bunch of other companies semi-anonymously, sort of surreptitiously. One of them, I think, was called like the Pink Unicorn Company or something like that.
Oh, that's the other story. So the Pink Unicorn was what they did before, but they've abandoned that, which was equally, we'll talk about it later, but in another episode, it was equally bad. But this one, now they've moved on past their Pink Unicorn days, and they're just doing this live AI.
It's still so horrifying, just because, like, it's the darkest use of AI that you could possibly think of for Orwellian surveillance of citizens. And they're like, yeah, this is great. And when we learn what they used to be doing, and they abandoned it because it wasn't as effective as this, that probably tells you everything you need to know about how effective this is, which is way scarier than the article makes it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, a spoiler for the future story, but it was basically Cambridge Analytica, but a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Now, take that ethical model and apply it to facial recognition, live facial recognition. The guys interviewing him, they're like, well, that sounds kind of like Palantir. And he's like, yeah, that's basically what we're doing, except we're doing it live. So...
neat.
Enjoy that, Utah.
Oh, no.
And maybe one of the only happy stories this week is a fun new use for drones.
Canadian firm explores Finnish gold mine via autonomous drones. This is one of the wealthiest gold mines on the planet, but it's been super mined over the years. There's not really a lot left. So they're using drones to map out the mine to find out where would be good to continue mining. Neat.
Cool. That is a valuable drone. And if you are someone who has something wrong with your bones, or perhaps a terrible break in your bones, or whatever, you might have an exciting new thing coming your way in terms of replacing those bones.
Custom-made bones are being 3D printed in a lab and then implanted in people. Well, that seems like a good idea. That seems like an idea long overdue. You can print it out of biomaterial that's more biocompatible with your body, less chance of rejection than fully synthetic things or like plastic coated metal or anything like that. So it solves a lot of problems.
It's called bio ink. And if I understand this correctly, it's basically a bone replacement, but it's porous so that your actual bones can begin to just like go in there and take over and live in there. And eventually they'll just get rid of whatever was in there. Slowly over time, you'll get back a real bone. But you got that sort of scaffolding for it to grow on.
Neat.
So will people be able to start like building new, totally new bone structures in their body just for, you know?
I was thinking about replacement hips. It's like, oh, I can finally get a replacement hip that's not, you know, metal. Because you get the fancy replacement hips and it's going to wear out all of the other bones around it because they're not made of like some sort of space age polymer.
Yeah, but in most cases, after the hip goes in, 20 years is a lot to hope for. So, still, yeah, that would be amazing. And IBM's Watson, the famous computer that dominated at Jeopardy, just keeps getting better, and they keep adding new plugins to it. The latest one isn't all that useful, but it is kind of fun to talk about.
Artificial intelligence. IBM's Watson now understands idioms after, quote-unquote, sentiment update. The first time I read this headline was, it understands idioms because it's now sentient. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, no, sentiment. Sentiment. Okay, we're good. We're good.
So, yeah, just all of our little colloquial phrases. Hardly helpful, hot under the collar, over the moon. Watson understands those now.
Neat.
So it'll be harder when you're like on the phone with the resistance trying to talk in a way that the AI can't follow. It'll be way harder to do that now.
Yeah, that's not good.
Tomorrow will be business and I don't remember what the other one will be. Find out.
There's not really a lot of news this week because everything is turned off.
Yeah, preview for tomorrow, that's canceled. The news isn't canceled. Just everything in the news is canceled.
We're surviving. It's fine.
We'll see you then.
See ya.
Chris is not here to say bye.
Yeah, well, meh.